Climb into the cockpit with pilot and Link Square's Chief Legal Officer, Tim Perilla, as he invites legal leaders aboard to share advice that will help you navigate even the most turbulent times of in-house counsel work. We'll cover a range of topics from data privacy to legal team structure to public company transactions and beyond. You don't want to miss this series. Fasten your seatbelt and prepare for takeoff. You're listening to Cockpit Counsel.
Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Cockpit Counsel. My name is Tim, and I'm the Chief Legal Officer at Link Squares.
And I'm Alyssa Verzino, producer and co-host of the show. Thanks for tuning in. If you enjoy the show, don't forget to like, follow, and subscribe. Now let's jump into our next episode.
Welcome everybody. We are back with Ashley for our second session.
I am so excited to be back, and I hear I am the first guest to be back.
You are.
The second time around.
You are. So this should be fun.
I'm excited. Let's dive into this.
Yeah. What have you been up to?
Well, as I think I mentioned the last time, you know, I'm in my doctoral program.
Yep.
I've got another year left.
Okay.
I feel like I've been doing this for a while. I just submitted chapter 2, which is a big deal. So it's the bulk of the writing. It's about 51 pages.
Okay.
Not
all right.
For the faint of heart. And then chapter 1 I'll submit this weekend. Also equally exciting. I'm closer and closer to that being a doctor and that next step.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's so cool. So yeah, how many more chapters do you have to do? Like you said, you've got another year or so left.
So like it's a 4-chapter dissertation.
Okay.
So I'll have 2 chapters after this. Chapter 3 being the research and the actually putting my method out into the world, and hopefully people will respond to me.
Yeah. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Tell us more details on it. Like what have you been spending your time on this dissertation with?
So my writing will be specifically about, assuming it's approved by the International Review Board, perceived organizational support and perceived leadership support in US-based startups.
Okay.
So
all right.
Getting a little bit deeper into that. So perceived support from the organizational side is that perception that employees have that the organization itself cares about and values their contributions, their work, and their well-being. On the leadership side, it's kind of the same thing. It's their supervisor, their leader cares about their well-being, their work, and really values and recognizes that.
That's pretty awesome. You definitely have both ends of that spectrum in startups, in my experience.
Yeah, and you have it also in larger organizations. So, I've experienced it from kind of all angles. But it's interesting because the research itself, there's not a whole lot on US-based startups. It's Indonesian, China, other parts of the world. And I'm like, well, there's a gap here. And there's a ton of startups in the US. And you can look this up and fact check me, but 90%+ or so of startups fail, and they fail because of leadership and team issues. Well,
usually
these things are easy to address, so why not?
Right. Yeah. If you've got product market fit, there's no reason why you shouldn't be able to actually build a successful business.
Bingo.
But the big question mark is you.
Yes,
right?
It's you, the person.
It's you. You are the problem.
Yes. I have to quote Taylor Swift.
Yeah, exactly. So that's awesome. That's fun. Where are you going to school again?
Here locally in Nashville.
Okay.
So Tribeca, give a big shout out to the university. I got my master's from there as well. And thankfully the program is online, so I'm still able to work.
Yeah. How's work going?
Work is great. We are very busy. I think in between the last time I was here and now we have a new CEO. There's really a lot of energy around our product, and it's super exciting to be at Contentful right now.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's exciting. And circling back to perceived organizational support a little bit, do you have any tips for how people can address it?
Yes. So it's an active thing to address this. And so employees need to feel valued and recognized. And so it can't be as simple as launching, say, a leadership development program and walking away from it. I look at it from the standpoint of you're giving employees autonomy. You're empowering them to make decisions about their jobs. You're recognizing them both formally and informally, you know, depending on how the person feels. And it's consistent. It's not at the end of the year or, you know, because they did great on this one thing. It's you know, it's spread throughout. And there's also open lines of communication. I think the more transparent you can be, both organizationally and at the leadership level, the more active you are in building up this support on all sides.
That makes a lot of sense.
It's simple, but we're all human, and it's easy to get wrong.
Right.
Right. So in your dissertation, is it going to end with different types of recommendations and that strategies is, and things like that?
That is the hope. Yeah. You know, I'll be, well, when it comes out, if you're listening out there and you see a LinkedIn post and you're in a US-based startup and you want to participate, TBD, more to come.
Shoot me a text, I'm in.
Yeah. But I would love to see, you know, this feedback and how these things impact organizational culture overall.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
How far along, like, the research have you gotten, like, as far as talking to companies, things like that, or is that next stage?
It's kind of the next stage, okay. Obviously. You know, I know there's folks that want to participate, you know, kind of low-key networking, kind of like we're doing here, in a lot of ways. You know, my advising team's really excited about this. It's a topic that, you know, it's so easy to get wrong, but so easy to also get right.
Right.
So it's a little bit of both worlds.
Yeah.
And switching gears a little bit to career development, because last time you were on the show, you talked about your career development matrix, or was that a development template?
It's a template.
Do you mind walking through it a little bit more in depth?
Yeah. So there's tons of career development templates out there. I mean, you just Google it, you'll find, you know, thousands of them. What I did with the one I created, it's a little bit of a combination of both. It kind of starts at the top with your strengths, your achievements, your current role, how many years you've been in that role. And then when you get down into what I would call the middle section, which is the very visionary, reflective side of career development, you take a look at your current role and the year that you happen to be in, and you do what I would call a very deep reflective exercise, kind of envisioning in some ways, where you think about your values, you think about your skills, you think about these roles in this future state of mind. I'm a current director of legal operations right now, but where do I want to be in 2 years? What skills do I need to get in order to get to be in that next role, whatever that is, whether that's, you know, for me, it would be going back to HR, for example. And it's something I'm passionate about. So thinking about what those roles look like, doing research on those roles and if they exist or if they don't exist. Mm-hmm. And the big piece of any career development is you own it. Mm-hmm. And you have to be fiercely intentional about that. You can't wait for opportunities to kind of come to you. You need to go create them yourselves. And so if a role doesn't happen to fit, you know, in existence, then talk to your leadership. Talk about what skills and competencies that you have, what you're building towards, and work to create that for yourself. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's awesome.
But it's deeply reflective, and you've got to be very self-aware to sit down and do that.
Yeah.
And be honest with yourself. You know, there's a little honesty about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no one's going to build your career for you.
No.
Right?
No.
People are happy to just have you sit and do the role that you're in.
And especially if you're good and you're performing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I'm going to hold on to you as long as I can.
Right. Yeah. Do you have tips if somebody's at the point where their next step is like a big jump for leadership? Like if somebody really wants to be GC or CLO?
I would say the biggest tip is if you're currently not in a leadership role and you're going to make that transition, it's a big pivotal moment to go from being, say, an individual contributor and solely focused on your own contributions to, say, moving into people leadership, because typically those roles involve some level of people leadership, depending on your organization size, obviously. Mm-hmm. And you go from thinking about yourself to now you are responsible for the development, the well-being, the care, the performance, and the contributions of a team. Mm-hmm. That takes emotional intelligence, takes communication, it takes also being honest with yourself to say, I am not the smartest person sitting here. The people on my team are.
Yeah.
So there's coaching, there's mentorship, there's all the things that you have to be willing and ready to do and jump into. Mm-hmm. That also means upskilling yourself if you haven't ever done it before. Seeking out those senior leaders that you admire, that are inspirational to you, and having those conversations to say, you have a skill that I don't have. I want to work on this. So for me, regardless of where you sit, mentorship and sponsorship are huge differentiators in any career.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's a thing that a lot of lawyers, I think, have trouble with.
Yeah.
Particularly lawyers who spend a lot of time in law firms, because mm-hmm. there are a lot of very toxic things, management styles yes. in law firms, right? And I guess maybe it builds a little bit of character. See how much abuse you can take yes. before you just move on.
Yeah.
But when you're in a GC role and a CLO role, like that is kind of the hardest part is getting those people management things right. And there's an element of like doing the people management things mm-hmm. the right way, but you can't actually really be effective until you've already established credibility with those who you're trying to lead.
Yeah. And especially right? in some cases, or at least I know in my experience, I have sat with them. I have been their peer, I've been their colleague, and now yeah. all of a sudden I'm leading this person.
Yeah.
That's a different shift in and of itself because you have a different relationship that you've built with that person. And so now all of a sudden there's a different level of trust that you're expected to build yeah. with them because you're leading them now. Whereas before you were just sitting side by side doing the work.
Yeah. I've seen a lot of people struggle with that yeah. too. Like when you have been a part of a team and you then grow to be the leader of that team, like people kind of will still treat you mm-hmm. as a peer in a lot of ways. And that can be really, really difficult to overcome.
Yeah.
It's kind of like one of those things where the people who I've found to be successful in that were already leaders, even though they didn't have the name, right? Yes. And people like kind of looked up to them already yeah. and that sort of thing. But it's tough because you think about like some of the emotional intelligence that you have to be a good leader. And it's hard to tell those people who were your peers, who are now your subordinates, for lack of a better way to put it. Like you have to create this distance that wasn't there before.
And I think right? some of that is just having that difficult conversation
yeah.
with that person to say, I know we were peers and we were colleagues before, but now I'm purposefully taking a step back because I am your leader. So there's a level of self-awareness, a level of vulnerability, empathy, and also understand where they're coming from to say, yes, our relationship is shifting,
yeah.
but I'm still here. I'm still working with you. We're just working in a different way.
Yeah, exactly. Now I just have to write your performance review and deal with all the,
yeah.
deal with all the other crap.
The administrative stuff that comes with it. Yeah.
So oh,
that's funny. Yeah. Thinking about legal ops specifically, I was actually chatting with Ashlyn on our legal team, and she said that you were on a panel that was really popular talking about like legal ops and how it's different because a lot of times you're an individual contributor and you don't have a seat at the table. And she said that you had a lot of good insights on how to still have impact when you're not in a leadership role.
So influence without authority is kind of the term for it. And that comes from also building your own brand. And we all struggle with this. I mean, I call it like creating that portfolio of success stories, putting out your results and communicating what that is when you're an individual contributor and say you don't have a leadership role or you don't have that seat at the table. It also, I mentioned it a minute ago, mentorship and sponsorship. They're two very different things, but critically important to each other. Having a mentor that is either a leader that you admire that's outside of your field, in your department, whatever it might be, working on those skills and competencies that they demonstrate that you feel like are opportunities for you, and then sponsorship, whether that's your CLO, your GC, another leader within the company, having that person sponsor you, championing your work, talking about your initiatives, and those folks are in rooms and tables that you're not at, so they can talk about those things. But that also comes from you showcasing the work that you're doing and building relationships and being cross-functional and, again, very intentional mm-hmm. about how you set yourself up. It takes work and it takes commitment. You know, you can't, unfortunately, in operations roles, we sit behind the scenes a lot of times. Right. And it's easy to just say, oh, I did this thing. Things are moving. Things are, you know, everything is going smooth across the water. Nobody sees what all of it takes to make that happen. Mm-hmm. And so you have to talk about it.
That sponsor mentor mm-hmm. dynamic is an interesting mm-hmm. one, right? That because you're right. Like you can do all of the best work and contribute at a very high level, and if people aren't like you said, showcasing the work that you're doing, they're not really like advocating for you, then you're just not going to go anywhere.
No. And what I like to do is I try to build up cross-functional support, but also get into a cross-functional leadership meeting. Try to present, you know, especially if, say, you're working on something in partnership with IT or finance or HR, and you own a piece of that. Get into one of their meetings and talk about those initiatives. That's a great way to showcase the work. Other people are going to hear it. They're gonna be like, oh, that thing that Ashley did, or that thing, you know, that Kaylin did, or whomever, that was fantastic. Yeah. And then all of a sudden word starts building. You know, and then you get invited to more meetings, and then all of a sudden your calendar is filled with, you know, with meetings.
And now you're too busy to do such great work.
Yeah.
Then you get promoted.
And then you get promoted. I wish it were that easy.
Yeah. Very, very simple work.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Do you have any strategies for promotion in legal ops specifically?
I would say visibility is key. You know, it goes back to showcasing that work. Being visible, you know, building that portfolio of success stories. Mm-hmm. I would also say, you know, acting like a leader, and, you know, don't sit in and work in the role that you currently have. Work for the role that you want to be in, mm-hmm. and demonstrate those skills and competencies. And again, you have to be fiercely intentional, relentless in your pursuit, and you have to never stop learning. Mm-hmm. I think that is the biggest tip. And seek out, you know, folks that you admire. And I'm a big advocate for it not being in your own industry, because I think you learn a lot more from those folks.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the things that I tell everybody in my org is that they should be intimately familiar mm-hmm. with our leveling chart.
Yes.
Right? It's something that, you know, having seen that go well and having seen it not go so well, like if you relatively early on have an organization that does really align the roles mm-hmm. with the levels,
yes,
then it becomes extremely clear for people what mm-hmm. they need to do. But it's also like, well, you already need to be operating at a director level before you're going to get a director title.
Exactly.
Right. And that does mean, you know, what is your sphere of influence? Mm-hmm. You know, like you're not going to be a VP if you're not inherently cross-functional in the way that you perform your role.
Correct. Right? And hopefully your folks are in organizations where they have those leveling charts. And if they don't, then start asking questions about where is this leveling chart? Where are the competency frameworks? Do we have a career development map? And if not, I highly encourage people to go out and do it for themselves. Like figure those things out and make a path for yourself.
Yeah, and hope that the answer isn't, oh, we're all a family here.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Quit.
Yeah.
Quit that job.
Run. Run as
right away.
Fast as you can to something else.
I don't know anybody who doesn't have some level of serious dysfunction in their family. Like, you do not want your business to be like your family.
No. But business is not family. And I think that's where a lot of people run into issues, that's especially in startups. Because it can feel very familial in a way, because it's small, you're working on these, you know, these big things together, this product is coming to life, the organization grows, and then some of that familial feel kind of falls away.
Yeah.
But you were never a family to begin with.
Right. That's so exactly right.
You were a business, and business means making tough decisions.
Yeah, and it means you put the interest of the business over the, you know, in many ways.
Yeah.
The interest of the person, the individual.
Yes. And right? You bring up a very good point. That's a kind of another point I would say is to showcase things, you need to demonstrate your business acumen. Mm-hmm. Understand how legal or legal operations goals or any function for that matter, how that ties to the overall business strategy. You need to be able to talk about your own product. You need to know what the company does outside of just your sphere in whatever function you sit in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I know we touched on it a little bit, maybe more tactically, for people who are looking to jump into that people management role, what can people do to show that they're ready?
Yeah.
And you know, for people who acknowledge maybe they're not ready, what should be top of mind as a skill set to try to develop?
First and foremost, have a career development plan. Yeah. Sit down, do the reflective exercise, and have the career development plan in place. Also have conversations with your leaders. You know, look at your learning and development programs. Are there leadership academies that are available? Are there outside external trainings that you can do to develop your emotional intelligence, your communication skills? Active listening is a big part of being a people leader. In fact, that's that and coaching. I think those are the two biggest ones. I think I said it the last time. It's if you can't sit and coach and actively listen to someone, yeah, maybe you should reconsider. Yeah. You know, those are some skills that I would highly recommend that someone go out and build. If they don't have them, then set a plan.
Right.
You know, and set small, attainable goals. You know, SMART goals are a great thing, both long term and short term. But then also, you've got to have a mentor. I'll say it 50 times over in this conversation. Having a mentor is so impactful. Also, outside coaching. You know, I've had a career coach off and on for many years, and it's been valuable for me at different points in my career.
Yeah, the mentorship is big.
Yeah.
And I think when you have somebody that that allows you to really be direct in how you explain the business, mm-hmm. and like have that someone that you can go to again and again who has the context of you,
yes.
and the job that you're in or the work that you're doing or the specific company that you're in,
yeah.
is like massively helpful. You know, you think about it like, you know, you go home to your spouse and you're like, oh, like this and that and the next thing's happening at work, mm-hmm. and it's always like this blend of like, how much detail do I need to give so that you understand why this is an issue? Mm-hmm. And then do you really want to listen to that? Like at all, you know? So when you do have someone that you can, you know, really have that as the fundamental part of the relationship, I think it's really massively valuable.
It is. And I am an advocate for having more than one.
Yeah.
And, you know, I have more than one mentor, people I would consider on my board of directors, if you will, if you want to get really technical, people that I have known and admired their leadership for years. And mm-hmm. I could call, I could text, I can say, hey, I need help.
Yeah.
And I think that's the other thing, is not being afraid to say, I need help. Mm-hmm. And I don't know.
Right.
You know.
Is the hey, got a sec text?
Yeah. Right. Hey, there's this thing.
Do you both have advice for how to identify a mentor? Or like a story about how you found one of your mentors or something like that?
I would say for me, it's people who I admire, who are inspirational, who demonstrate and show up as good leaders. And they don't necessarily have to be my leader, although a couple of people who I consider to be my mentors have been my leader in the past, mm-hmm. not currently, but you see qualities. And I think it goes back to your own values. So that's kind of a part of that career development exercise, is knowing your values and where those align. Mm-hmm. And so for me, it's somebody who's humble, hungry and ambitious and kind and treats people with respect. And so that's what I look for in a mentor. And also not somebody in the particular function or industry that I happen to sit in. Mm-hmm. So one of my previous mentors was in engineering. No relation to anything I was doing at all, but he was wonderful for me, you know, and I could still probably call him today and he would pick right up and be like, yes, I got you.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. I've been lucky enough to have a handful of folks that I can reach out to. A lot of them have been leaders I've worked with in the past, and that's been great. And some others have just been sort of contacts that I came across through different, you know, different ways.
Yeah.
Right. You know, I've got a couple of folks who sat on the other side of the table from me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Negotiating massive, massive deals. And they've been extremely generous with their time. Yeah. And like, it's great to sort of go through that adversarial process a little bit, mm-hmm. and then sort of come out the other side and like understand each other, I guess.
Yeah.
Right.
I also think you have to know what you want out of a mentorship relationship. Mm-hmm. You know, I think there's a level of intentionality. I can't just go and be like, oh, hey, Tim, I want you to be my mentor, and just kind of leave it open-ended. That right. gives you no context as the person on the other side. It's, right. hey, Tim, I want to work on my XYZ skills, leadership, communication, emotional intelligence, empathy, whatever it might be,
yeah.
because I admire those things in you, mm-hmm. or I come to you with a question, you know, right. and then that's how it kind of starts.
Right.
Like, hey, I have a question about how to handle this situation. And then we start building that relationship with each other. And then at some point you're intrigued enough to be like, yes, I'm willing to mentor you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's a little bit of like, you know, for those who maybe don't have a massive network early in the
yeah.
career, like there is like some cold outreach
yeah.
that you do. And like, you're probably going to get a lot of rejection or like non-answer stuff. But you gotta keep at it, you know?
I mean, I'm currently mentoring 3 people. So I also believe in giving it back.
Yeah.
So, and they were all cold outreach.
Really?
To me, yes, all 3. Just cold outreach randomly. And it's been wonderful for me because I've learned so much.
Yeah.
Because I'm all in. I'm like, okay, you reached out to me. There's a reason,
mm-hmm.
Something you see in me that I may not have even seen in myself. And so I've treated it as a learning opportunity for myself, you
yeah.
know, as a leader.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's all she wrote.
That's
it.
This is how we end these.
Oh, already?
Can we do another hot take?
Yeah,
do
a hot take.
All right, let's see. What should the hot take be on?
Well, you could do like, what's your hot take on perceived organizational support?
Oh, okay. Hot take on perceived organizational support. It needs to be actively cultivated. It needs to be cared about, cared for, and it needs to be a priority for organizations and leaders. And organizations need to set leaders up for success to be able to do this. That means giving employees autonomy, you know, helping them have a level of decision-making in their roles and not creating well-being programs for the sake of putting the feel-good out there, but really creating something that is meaningful and impactful to that employee base.
Yeah.
There is no such thing as work-life balance. It's work-life harmony, mm-hmm. in my opinion. And so the programs that you create, the perceptions, it's marketing and branding. Like, it's constantly talking about it. And so that's my hot take on perceived organizational support.
Thanks for joining us. And if you have any topics for discussion or guests you'd like to see on the show, feel free to submit them to cockpitcouncil@linksquares.com.